Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's devotional, Life According to Jesus. But first, here's the message, The Supremacy of the Gospel.
Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we are beginning a new series of messages today and throughout this season that concerns the gospel of God. The gospel of God, because in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17, Peter refers to the gospel of God. It is God's gospel that we see throughout the pages of His Word, penetrating, punctuating the Word of God throughout the Scriptures in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It flows, this gospel, like a red river of redemption throughout the pages of God's Word. One of my ministerial pastoral heroes is Dr. W.A. Criswell, now in heaven. A number of years ago, he decided to preach through the Bible in one evening, and he started about 7 o'clock in the evening and preached well past midnight. And his subject, as he traced the Scriptures, Old Testament passages to New Testament passages, Genesis to Revelation, his theme was the scarlet thread through the Bible, because it is the message of redemption. It is the story of salvation. It is the gospel of God. And we're going to examine together, discover together the vast dimensions and depths of this gospel. Now, lest you think that this series is all about evangelism, I want to remind you that while we certainly believe that in proclaiming the gospel, we're going to see many, many people come to Christ, I want to remind you that the gospel is for believers as well as unbelievers. It will take all eternity for us to plumb the depths of this great gospel of Christ, the good news. And that's what the word gospel means. It means good news. And in a world filled with so much bad news, and in a bad news world, thank God for His good news, the greatest good news a dying, desperate world has ever heard. The word gospel, good news, is used over 90 times in the New Testament alone. There are many religions, there are many philosophical ideas, but there is only one gospel. It is the gospel of God. And Paul declares this gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, with these words. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance to the Scripture. Now listen clearly, because this is the gospel. Simply and sublimely put, it is profoundly simple and yet simply profound. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And no matter what else you may be saying, you're not declaring the gospel unless you're speaking of Christ and what He has done for us, His person and work. The gospel, as I mentioned, radiates throughout all of the Scripture. It is the sum and the summation of everything that God is saying to us in His Word. And the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ describes these most important events in human history. That's why we say, first of all, that the gospel is primary. Paul put it this way, verse 3, it is of first importance. He said, let me remind you of these things. Jesus gave us a permanent reminder in the Lord's Supper of the gospel, His body broken for us, His His blood shed for us. And Paul is reminding us. You see, Paul could never get over the gospel. It had been 20 years since he had met Christ on the Damascus Road. His life radically transformed from a revolutionary and a murderer to a redeemed apostle of God. And yet, while it had been 20 years, he was still in love with Christ. He was still proclaiming the gospel. He was gripped by this gospel. He never got over it. It is of first importance. You know, teaching is not so much instructing as it is reminding. And so we are to be reminded constantly of this of first importance. The gospel is not incidental. It is fundamental to our faith. There is nothing more important. There are many subjects that we address from God's Word and in God's church. We talk about marriage and family. We may talk about raising children. We may talk about ethical and moral issues. We may address the cultural landscape. We may speak regarding apologetics and defending our faith. We may speak of eschatology and those things which are to come, which is certainly a part of the gospel of Christ. But let me say that while all of these subjects are of extreme interest and vitality for the church and extreme importance, everything else but the gospel is secondary. Everything else is temporal. The gospel is eternal. That is why it is of extreme importance that we continue to be passionate regarding the gospel. That's why at our church we are committed to declare this good news. The gospel at its center and circumference is Christ. And so Paul is saying, listen up, pay attention to the gospel and never forget it. Why? Because the gospel is not only primary, but it is powerful. The most powerful force on earth. No wonder Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. How so? Power to save. Verse 2 says, by which you are being saved. Saved from what? Sin. Sin is choosing my way over God's will. The gospel is good news because of the problem of sin. Just as a jeweler might take a dark piece of cloth or velvet and lay it out and place a diamond there or a beautiful jewel to examine its clarity and its magnificence and its beauty, God places the gospel on the dark backdrop of man's sin. And it is there that the gospel shines and shows the depths of our sin and from which we have been delivered. Our sins are the reason that Jesus died. Now, sin is a huge problem. It's not just a little lapse in judgment that we may get over. The gospel shatters our rationalization regarding sin and reminds us that sin is not ignorance that can be corrected by education. Nor is sin a social maladjustment that can be corrected by environment. Nor is sin a myth or a mistake that can be corrected by a good example. No, sin is so tragic, so damning, so vile that it takes the precious blood of God's only Son to forgive us of our sins. Sin is described in the Bible as a defiance. It is man shaking his puny fist in the face of God and saying, God, you're not big enough to make me believe. Or God, I choose my way over your way. It is described as a defiance, a trespass against the laws of God. Ultimately, sin is against God. Sin may be against your family. You may sin against your church. You may sin against your friends. You may sin against your country. But ultimately, sin is a defiance of God. Sin is also described as a debt. A debt. The wages of sin is death. That is why Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe, because we owed a debt that we could not pay. Sin is a defiance. Sin is a debt. Sin is a disease. a disease for which there is no cure but the gospel. Even our good deeds cannot measure up to the holiness of God. The scripture which tells us that even our righteousness is as filthy rags. The very best that we can do are like the filthy rags. And this probably referred to the rags removed from the leprous sores of a dying man. Wretched, vile. God hates unrighteous, evil, bad deeds, but God also despises self-righteous good deeds when these become a substitute for salvation in your life. Sin is a disease for which there is no cure. Sin is a distance that separates us from God. God is holy and is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. So even when Jesus died on the cross and cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even God's Son bearing the sins of the world at that moment was separated from the Father, forsaken of God. Sin is death. The wages of sin is death. It is a living death without God, life without God, the separation of the soul, the spirit from God. That's why so many people say things like, if this is life, if this is living, why do I feel so empty? What is this emptiness inside of me? What is this hole that I try to fill with all kinds of things, but I'm never satisfied? This is sin. Sin may be popular, but it is an offense to a holy God. Sin may be pleasurable, but it is vile in the sight of a God and His throne in whose pleasure and fullness we seek. Yes, sin is the bad news. It makes the good news so good. The good news, Jesus died for our sins.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, The Supremacy of the Gospel. Jesus says in John 6:35, that whoever comes to Him will never go hungry, and whoever believes in Him will never be thirsty. He is the single source of a truly satisfying life. And today, you can help more people experience the full life available in Christ when you give to help proclaim the gospel through PowerPoint. We'll say thanks for your gift by sending you the newest edition of Dr. Graham's devotional book, Life According to Jesus. So please, call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word LIFE to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, The Supremacy of the Gospel.
This was a voluntary death. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me, I lay it down of myself. Jesus was not the victim of his circumstances, nor was he overpowered by his enemies, but rather he willingly gave himself as a sacrifice. The voluntary death was a sacrifice and fulfillment of all of the sacrificial systems of the Old Testament, the bloody sacrifices of the temple and the tabernacle, all of these conditioning man to receive the ultimate sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And therefore, when Jesus died, it was a voluntary death. A sacrificial death, but not only a voluntary death, it was a vicarious death. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us as our substitute in our place, in our behalf. He took our sins upon Himself. He bore our sins on the tree. This is vicarious death. He suffered our shame, our sin, our sorrows, and died. Isaiah, the Prince of Prophets, put it this way, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. It is a voluntary death, sacrifice. It is a vicarious death, substitution. It is also a victorious death, because on the cross, as our Savior, Jesus defeated the powers of sin and death and hell. That's why we sing victory in Jesus. But not only did Jesus die for our sins, but interestingly enough, Paul includes in the gospel message the fact that he was buried. He was buried. It was clear that he was dead and therefore buried in a borrowed tomb. Puts away all these shameful theories of Jesus just swooning on the cross, or someone else was the one who died, some other Jesus, some other revolutionary. There are all kinds of wacko theories. They normally come out around Easter time, somebody trying to explain that it really wasn't Jesus, or that Jesus really didn't die on the cross, that it was some myth or some mystical thing, or it was some secret plot or secret code. No, the gospel means that Jesus died and he was buried. But not only physically true, this is a spiritual lesson, because the Bible teaches us in this gospel that when Jesus was buried, now listen up, when Jesus was buried, this is of first importance, when Jesus was buried, our sins were buried with him. We died with Christ and our sins are buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness. He remembers them no more. Now, there's a beautiful picture that teaches this, and it's called baptism. Baptism. You know, when you baptize someone, the Bible way, you put them all the way under the water. That's clear in the scripture. The very word baptism means immerse or to submerge. There are other methods of baptism that people have adopted and accepted over the years, but we believe that baptism is by immersion only, for believers only. We don't sprinkle babies or infants. We sprinkle no one, because we believe believers ought to be baptized by immersion, because it is a testimony of the very thing that Paul is talking about here about the burial of Christ. And then look at Romans 6:3-5. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That is, we identify with him in his death, his cross. We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So baptism pictures the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. When you bury somebody, you don't sprinkle a little dirt on them. You put them under. You know, I love that old preacher thing that says some people only come to church three times: when they're hatched, matched, and dispatched. Sprinkle a little water on them, sprinkle a little rice on them, sprinkle a little dirt on them, they're done. No, baptism is a beautiful, powerful, persuasive testimony. It tells people to whom we belong and what we believe, that we belong to Jesus. We believe that he died for our sins according to the scripture on the cross, that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, our spiritual identification with Christ, which is symbolized by the beautiful testimony of baptism. But the gospel is not only that he died, he was buried, but that he rose again. Verse 4, he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture. The scriptures. The good news, the greatest good news the world has heard, came out of a graveyard, out of a tomb, over 2,000 years ago. When Jesus rose, he gave us the potential, the possibility of having eternal life. Now, this is vital, this is critical, this is of the most extreme and first importance. Every now and then you may hear someone say something like, well, it really doesn't matter to me. You may hear preachers and theologians say something around Easter time like this. Well, it really doesn't matter to me if Jesus actually literally came out of the grave because of the ethical, moral teachings of Christ, because of the beautiful witness and the charge of Christ in the gospel. It doesn't matter if he really came out of the grave. The spiritual resurrection is what matters. Friends, according to 1 Corinthians 15, if Jesus is still in the grave, our faith is foolish, our lives are futile, our preaching is worthless. We have nothing to say. We have nothing to believe if Jesus is still in the grave. But what we believe is that on the third day, he conquered sin and death and the grave. And this is the gospel. Romans 4:25, Jesus, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This gospel is powerful to save. It is also powerful to secure, because in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says, in which you stand, this gospel in which you stand. We stand on these truths. We believe these facts more than intellectually. We believe them in our hearts, that Christ did all that was necessary for us to stand in the presence of a holy God. Our faith may be small, our faith may be weak, but we stand in Christ. Jesus never fails. We stand upon a solid rock. We may tremble on the rock, but the rock never trembles under us. We stand upon him. The gospel that saves us also grows us. Notice verse 2 says, by which we are saved or are being saved. Present tense, active, continuous. And that is, we are always being saved. We are kept by the same gospel that saves us. The same gospel that saves us keeps us. The same gospel that saves us grows us, and we are being made more and more like Christ. I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved ultimately and finally in the presence of Christ. And we'll be talking about what that means in this series. But I tell you that if you believe the gospel, that he who begins the good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I preach to you this gospel. It's important to live the gospel, to be salt and light in the world, but the gospel is not just a demonstration or a debate or a discussion, it is a declaration. And we're not sharing the gospel unless we're sharing Jesus, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, who he is and what he has done for us. Jesus is made known by the preaching of Christ and his gospel. Tell it, share it, explain it, so people may receive it. This gospel is for every person. Everyone is included. It is all inclusive. It is a universal message for the whole world to hear. The gospel is not the American gospel or the Western gospel or the white man's gospel. It is the world's gospel. It is the gospel for the world. God so loved the world. God so loved you that he gave his only son.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, The Supremacy of the Gospel. In his search for a satisfying life, King Solomon tried everything this world has to offer, only to discover that nothing can bring meaning to your life like a deep, personal relationship with God. We want to help you strengthen that relationship by sending you the newest edition of Dr. Graham's 80-day devotional book, Life According to Jesus. It's our thanks for your gift of support to help reach more people with the gospel through PowerPoint. So call now to request Life According to Jesus when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. 775-4627. You can also text the word LIFE to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
The word gospel means good news, and it's used over 90 times in the New Testament. So right away, we can see that this is something important to God, and He wants you to understand that the gospel is the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we can be talking about many spiritual things from Scripture, but we're not declaring the gospel unless we are speaking specifically about who Christ is and what He has done for us. Now let me say this, we might think that the good news of Jesus Christ is found only in the New Testament or the four Gospels, but in reality, the gospel message radiates throughout all of Scripture. It is the sum and the summation of everything God is saying to us in His Word regarding the plan of redemption for mankind. And because the gospel, again, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, that message of hope and salvation, because this gospel describes the most important events in human history, we should say that the gospel is of first importance, just as the Scripture tells us, of first importance in our lives as followers of Christ. That's how the Apostle Paul put it. This gospel is first. You see, Paul could never get over the gospel. His life was so radically transformed from a murderer to a redeemed missionary apostle of God who preached the gospel throughout the world. He was completely and utterly gripped by this gospel. So the gospel is not incidental to the Bible. It is in fact fundamental, the most important thing about our faith as Christ followers. There is nothing more important than this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even though we address other vital topics from God's Word, such as marriage and family, ethical and moral issues, these are topics of secondary importance to the gospel. That is why it is so important for you to understand the gift that God has given you in Jesus Christ. And if you want to know more about this good news, this gospel of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, and how to make this the most important thing in your life, the most passionate purpose of your life, I invite you to contact us at PowerPoint today.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's devotional, Life According to Jesus, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word LIFE to 59789. And join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how God had plans for your salvation before time began. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.